The scripture this morning is going to be from Genesis 12, verses 1 through 7. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Moreh at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. We're happy to have Bishop Joe Miller sharing with us this morning. Blessings, Joe, as you share.
It's good to be with you this morning. Thank you for this invitation. Thank you for giving Pastor Steve an opportunity to have a season of refreshment and renewal. And I trust that that will also be a time, as you have guest speakers, to also you will have a refreshment and a renewal in your own way as a congregation. I wanted to share with you this morning that amazing passage of scripture where Abraham sets off to a land that he does not know. I love Abraham's and Sarah's faith in going to a place they did not know. I don't know if any of you have ever moved. I know some of you have. Perhaps you grew up here in Lancaster County and moved to a place that, but there's a little bit of that, isn't there? I remember the first move that my wife and I made after we were married. I accepted a role in the Harleysville, Franconia area. We moved from Kansas in a little U-Haul, pulling a little U-Haul trailer, and we arrived, you guys know that so well, but it felt so strange. It was busy. We were used to Heston, where, count the cars. And here I was outside of Philadelphia and all these people. Just a little taste of maybe what Abraham and Sarah were experiencing. But you move in faith. You move with a sense that God has called you to something. And that just keeps you going. I remember as a pastor when we would commission a youth to go on YWAM or YES or whatever it was, or more long-term people, I remember as we were blessing them and sending them away from that congregation, I would say to them, "You're going to need, remember this moment, because there would be times as you make this transition that, into the new setting, that you're going to want to call on this moment where we bless you and we send you and you are not alone wherever you're at." So what a joy. Part of this sense of call that God gives Abraham and Sarah is that they will be a blessing to the nations. And my prayer is that as we have a sense of call from God, that we will be strong and courageous. There are a variety of places in the Bible where, and I'll look at those if a little later. When I was a pastor at Mellinger, just across the way here, Mellinger Mennonite, I led a lot of baptism classes, and one of the activities that I would do with a junior high school group would be to go down to our fellowship hall and divide the group, the class, into two different groups, and then I'd ask for a volunteer, and I would say, "No, one of these groups is going to be giving you bad information and one is going to be giving you good and true information. And we would set up an obstacle course with chairs, and then we would blindfold that volunteer, and then we'd spin them around, and then I would say, now, you have to attune your ear to the group that's giving you wise and correct and true information. Well, you can imagine the chaos. I said, no touching the person. So, you know, you couldn't guide them. And there was a lot of screaming and yelling and youth like that. And but then we would do that a couple of times. And, of course, it was sort of interesting how they would bump into chairs and try to listen to the true voice. And we would sit down after that and say, what do you do with this? How might this impact or be pertinent to your life? They and we have lots of voices. There are lots of voices that are wanting our attention. And it's not just youth but we all need to be able to listen and hear the true voice of God in a world that it seems like it's speeding up faster and faster, and all these voices. And there is a voice of Satan and a voice of the great tempter to also that wants to take us away from God's voice and God's direction. At the very beginning of the Bible, in the first three chapters of Genesis, the text starts, the story of God's creation starts, and there is this idea that there's this image of God, this creating God as a great bird that's soaring over this chaos and this void, this nothingness. And then God speaks. God speaks creation into being. It's a beautiful image. It's a beautiful image. But then there is also another voice that's introduced in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's the voice of the serpent, the great tempter. And that voice wants to call Adam and Eve away from the commission, the calling that God has given them. And sadly, they listen to that voice as well. Today, I invite us in this season of standing between Ascension Day and Pentecost, that we will listen wisely and carefully, and we will hear God's voice, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I always forget that it's Ascension Day until I try to call an Amish friend, and I realize then, oh yeah, it's Ascension Day. My father-in-law over in New Holland area said that it used to be that you could tell a Mennonite business from a worldly business because the Mennonites were closed on Ascension and open on Memorial. That's less true today, but we stand in this really amazing time. The resurrection, the ascension, the resurrection, and then the ascension of Jesus into back to the Father, back to God, and then this gift of Pentecost, this wonderful gift of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the voice that speaks to us wisely and with truth. I invite you to listen carefully. What are those voices that want to pull you away from God's true voice? I remember years ago, some of you will know Edgar Stace. he just passed away not too long ago. He was at Landis Homes for the last couple of years. And Edgar wrote an article, I think in the Gospel Herald, the Mennonite, or whatever it was back then, and he talked in terms of, he said, he was writing, and he says, I'm an old man now. And he said, I used to think that temptation was just for young people, because he said, I struggled, you know, as a young person, you struggle. But he said, I realized as an old man that the temptations don't go away. They're different, but they don't go away. So whatever it is for you, what voice might be speaking to you? You can't trust God. You will not be okay. You are being called to a place where that will destroy you or harm you. But to listen to God, listen to that spirit that says God can be trusted. God is trustworthy. I am in the palm of a great and loving parent. I love the passage from the end part of the Christ hymn of Philippians 2. That great hymn, it says this about Jesus. Because Jesus came and came into our world, he lived, he suffered, he died, he was resurrected, and then this ascension. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, for the glory of God the Father. That every knee shall bow. Some of you know that in an old order Amish worship service, there is a place in the worship service where it talks about, and every knee shall bow, and they bend their knee just for a little bit. If you didn't know it was coming, you'd miss it. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. All the powers and principalities, all that is created and uncreated, all of this must bow to the name of Jesus. Over the years, I have grown in my appreciation for the power of the name of Jesus. The way we name Jesus into the things that are frightening to us or disturbing. At the name of Jesus. Jesus is greater than all the chaos. Jesus is greater than all the chaos. We live in a troubling world. As we watch the news, as we read, look at the paper, as we listen. One of the disciplines I'm trying to do, as I read the paper and I watch the news, is I want to be able to keep remembering the name of Jesus, speaking the name of Jesus into these situations, both the local stuff that's going on, but also the worldwide. I want to read the paper recognizing that Jesus is master over that chaos. Jesus is master over that chaos. I have a friend that once in a while emails me long emails. I look at them and I'll get almost exhausted. And he's a Christian, but he's just so anxious. And he's long emails about politics and this wars that are going on in the world. And I keep saying to him, just trust God. Name Jesus into what's so deeply troubling to you. Name the name of Jesus. It's true in our individual lives and in our concerns for the world. As I was working on the sermon, I was listening to some music, and there's a hill song, song called From Grace to Grace. When I see the cross, I see freedom. When I see that grave, I see Jesus. And from death to life, I will sing your praise. In the wonder of your grace, how my soul will sing your praises. So I have 3 points this morning that I want to invite you to consider. God is committed to peace and shalom, wholeness for all of creation. God, through the Holy Spirit, is committed to pushing back at every occasion the chaos that wants to come back in to our world and into our individual lives. Number two, God is a reconciling God. God is determined and committed to reconciling our own relationship to God, but also reconciling a hurting and broken world. And number three, nothing is impossible with God. This promise that is repeated in the Bible. Now I have a number of texts that talk about to be strong and courageous. What is it in your life today? Well, I ask that of myself. What's in my life today where I need to be strong and courageous? And the premise of that is that you are strong and courageous because you know God is there for you and with you and in this. Joshua 1:9, perhaps one of the more famous, well-known, strong and courageous. You know the story. This poor guy comes and he has to fill the shoes of Moses. How do you do that? God says, Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you and with my righteous hand. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold, the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then finally, Chronicles 28:20. David also said to Solomon, his son, be strong and courageous and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Now I had a couple of slides. I guess they're not. That's fine. 2 weeks ago, I just got back from a trip, an Mennonite Central Committee trip to the African country of Malawi. I took the four canner operators that work for 2 years, volunteer for 2 years with MCC. We take them somewhere in the world where we're distributing canned meat. And we were in two locations in the country. The first is that MCC partners with the Malawi Prison Ministry. And out of the 28 prisons in Malawi, we were able to visit four prisons. But then we were also connecting with the Mennonite Brethren Church of Malawi, and we were spent about a week in a refugee camp of 60,000 people from a variety of countries that had fled civil war. And it was an amazing opportunity to just see God at work in really difficult and challenging places. We had a visit with three older women who had fled from Burundi because of a civil war in that community. And to hear to see both as for Christians in this kind of setting, to see both the incredible challenge in their lives, but also the courage and the resilience. The three women, the two oldest of the women who said, I likely will never leave this refugee camp in my lifetime. And yet, a testimony of God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. That God was there for them. They went to a land that they did not know, not necessarily feeling God's call, but fleeing for their lives. But a resilience, a trust that God was there for them and would be there for them. One woman said, to be a refugee means to worry about how I will eat that day. How I will eat that day. How I will feed my family. But she also had this amazing testimony of being strong and courageous, trusting God. After one visit in a very small, some of you have visited these kind of situations. After visiting one family, one of the Kerner guys, as we were walking away, I think this just blew their minds, which is sort of what we want. We want them to see and experience God's faithfulness in places of challenge. And he said to us, in amazement, and he had a lot of thinking to do, he said, my bedroom at home is bigger than their home. I like that, and I want him to think about that. He's what, 22. And then there is actually a Mennonite Brethren church in the camp, and it's all refugees, and the pastor is a refugee. Interestingly enough, his first name is Safari. I like that. Pastor Safari. His home of origin is the Congo, and in the Congo, his father was murdered, and he fled for his life and came to the camp, 20 years ago. And in the camp one day, some years after he had arrived, the man who was in charge of the soldiers who killed his father was in the camp. Pastor Safari was strong and courageous. And he went to that man and he said, it's time for you to give your life to Jesus, and I'll show you the way. You're just humbled by that. Pastor Safari is leading a congregation in the camp. I'd say 160 people there on a Sunday morning, and the folks there just dress in their just beautiful clothing. I'm sure they reserve that just for very, very special occasions, Sunday morning. And they're dancing and they're praising God. And we from North America just were deeply, deeply moved. The bishop for the Mennonite Brethren congregations on the bus as we were heading for Sunday morning said, now you need to be prepared to dance. Well, I grew up, and some of you did too, that dancing was sinful, so I did my best. I did my best. Interestingly enough, some of you have been African settings where, and God bless you, we do it our way, but, in Africa, you know, they take their offering and wave it like a, remember, there's an Old Testament, there's a wave offering, do you remember? They wave the offering and come forward, and, first time that happened to me, I did a newbie mistake because I gave all my offering in the first round, they counted the money and they said it wasn't enough. So they did more and I realized I had given it all away. So some people were passing me money so that I could go forward as well. Be strong and courageous. That's hard. That's hard. When we face doubts and fears, will I be okay? Will this world be okay? What will this world be like for my children and my grandchildren? Be strong and courageous. We do that together. We encourage each other. I love that. There's a Bible teacher many years ago. He wrote a teeny little book called Life. I think it's called Life Together. Maybe you know it. And one of the things he says in there, he says that we as Christian community have something that's a beautiful thing, and it's this idea of when you are weak, I'll be strong. And when I am weak, you will be strong. When I am weak, you will be strong. I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that in the early church when there was suffering and death and persecution from the state, that Christians, as they were preparing to face whatever they were gonna, face death, that they would, in a sense, line up and be the older, more mature follower of Jesus would be beside somebody maybe who was struggling, and they would encourage. They would encourage. And we just celebrated as some, I think, Paul, you were talking about seeing the worship service from Zurich. I invite you to find that. I watched it last night. It's on, you have to sort of hunt for it. It's in the Mennonite World Conference, and if you go to their website, you can find it there. Be strong and courageous. The story of the Anabaptist person who said, told friends and relatives as they're being burned, and they said, I will, if I am able, I will give you a signal that this is possible. You can do this. And as they, the ropes were burned free, they lifted their hand as a sign. It's possible. It's possible to go through this great suffering and stay faithful and trust in God. May you be strong and courageous. The Holy Spirit that we will celebrate next Sunday, Pentecost, is your guide, is your friend, and walks with you and empowers you to remain strong and courageous.